Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it.
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
All right, we're back. Play Tessie, you thought it's the offseason. We're still going. Episode 274, this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe to WEI over there. Hit the thumbs up on all our videos. They're in the Play Tessie playlist. And then you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. And like it's been a few days since the season ended. Our last podcast, if you listened, like obviously pretty sad scene with the three of us. Like legitimately raw, we jumped on here no more than 30 minutes after that game ended. And obviously when you lose a winner take all game to the New York Yankees and your season ends and it ends at the hands of those guys with a pitching performance from a dude like that, that will live for ages, regardless of what happens for the rest of the postseason. Yeah, that's good enough to kill a man. And it hurt the three of us, but it's been, that happened. What day was that? Thursday?
I don't know. I blocked that out of my memory.
Okay, so let's assume
it's
Thursday.
Friday.
So it's Friday. So it's basically been 3 days. I'm feeling like a little bit better, but like I'm still like this is gonna be a season recap. We're gonna hand out some superlatives. Still looking back on a season that we may not have all agreed was a success, but we all agreed was a step in the right direction season for the Red Sox. And we'll look back on that. Maybe we'll peek a little bit ahead. We'll see where it takes us. But that's what this episode's going to be. It's going to be a little bit of a, let's hand out the MVP. Let's, you know, talk about the moments of the year type deal. We're gonna reflect a little bit on a season that I really still wish wasn't over. But how you guys holding up? It's been a few days. Sammy, I know you've been sick.
I'm good. Yeah, if you listen to last episode, you could hear I was coming down with something. I can talk, though. That's the good thing. Still have a cough, but that's why we got a mute button. Other than that, I'm currently watching the Yankees try to make a comeback, but don't think it's going to happen. They're going to be down 2-0 to the Blue Jays. Knock on wood. Here it is.
Does that help?
Not my fault if anything happens, but I'm fine. Still sad that we don't have any Red Sox baseball. We should be watching game 2 of the ALDS Blue Jays Red Sox now, but it is what it is, and it was what it was. We move on.
Sammy, does it help you that the Yankees are getting their shit wrecked right now?
Yeah. I mean, like the my second favorite team is always whoever's playing the Yankees. So to watch these dorks get absolutely destroyed by our friends up north in Canada, I mean, it's the next best thing.
Pat, how you feeling? Been a few days.
Yeah, not doing too bad. Feels weird not having something to look forward to at the end of the day, if that makes sense. Like going to work, typically, like go to work, go to the gym, come home, dinner, sit down, socks. In that aspect, it's weird. Ran a 5K today. I don't run. Whole body hurts.
You're an athlete.
Whole body hurts. Hanging in there. Just try to fill the void, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's nice. It's nice that the Yankees are losing because obviously the second the Red Sox aren't in it, the most important next box to check is make sure the Yankees don't win the World Series. And, you know, they're as we record this, it's the seventh inning and they've already hit in the seventh. So they have 6 outs to go and they're down by 6 runs. So feel pretty good about them going down 2-0. And that's nice. But at the same time, like for me, like the reason a game like that hurts so much is like 75% because of what Pat said. It's like, now I've got to figure out what the hell to do with my life every single night, especially like till the Celtics come back. Cause the Celtics helped me fill that void in the winter time, but like, there's still some time. And even that, like, they're not going to be that great this year. So like,
it's a real thing, dude. Like I was talking to my girlfriend about this. I have like a mental block where I'm like, what do I do at the end of the day when I'm done with everything now? There's no Red Sox. And like I said, last episode, I'll watch the Celtics and Bruins in the playoffs, but I'm not watching regular season games every single night. It just doesn't do it for me. And then the Patriots are once a week. It really is weird, yeah. Like filling that void. Oh, I think Toronto just
it didn't get out.
Almost made it a 7-run lead. I don't know why I'm still watching this game like it's close, but see, you still get live reactions even though the Red Sox season's over. How about that, listeners? Whee!
It's like, yeah, I enjoy playoff baseball. Don't get me wrong, but the second, like, here's the, like, last year was nice because the Yankees, like, as scary as it was to think that the Yankees could win the World Series because they got there. If you're there, you have a chance to win it. If they get bounced now, like, I mean, I'll still watch it and I'll try to cherish baseball while it's here because I know that, you know, November, December, January, February will come and I'll wish that I, like, enjoyed the biggest games while they were being played. So I try to do that. But if the Red Sox aren't in it and the Yankees aren't in it, there's just not a huge rooting interest for me. I'll, like, have...
That's why I date someone from a different fan base. So true. I got the Mariners.
Go Mariners. Joe?
Proposal then, if you're asking that. Because the Yankees are obviously going down to another. I'm not watching the game. But in my mind, I'm thinking that the Yankees getting absolutely smoked in this 3-game series is more embarrassing than what the Red Sox did. Like, at least the Sox won a game. I know it's one round earlier, but like, yeah, they didn't put up a fight in the elimination game in game 3, but I still would rather like go down with a fight in a winner take all, even if it's a 3-game series, versus getting absolutely pantsed by Toronto in the next round and just getting swept out by that. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Red Sox wouldn't have gotten pantsed by the Blue Jays.
Hold on. I disagree with the concept though, because even if the Yankees lose 10-0 in game 3 as well, they're always going to have the fact that they won this round in the rivalry. There was a winner-take-all game, a rookie versus a rookie, and their rookie shoved it up their ass, up the Red Sox ass for 8 innings. And like, even if they go nowhere else, like, that is a win on its own. The Red Sox would not have won this series against the Blue Jays. They didn't have the pitching. They didn't have the pitching to make it through a 5-game series. Nah,
they would put up more of a fight than the Yankees would be doing right now.
Probably, I mean, that's because we're watching them lose by 10 runs a game. Like, yeah, they probably wouldn't have done that, but the Red Sox weren't going to win this series.
I mean, come on, the Red Sox didn't get like blown out by anyone all year. They were fighting in every single series. I think the Red Sox would have been. I wouldn't have picked them to win, but like, I don't think it's crazy to envision the Red Sox beating these guys. Aren't that good? Sammy, I mean, look at the Blue Jays roster.
Sammy, the difference is throughout the year they had three legitimate. Like, they had Lucas Giolito.
No, I get it. I get it. It would have been tough with the pitching, but I just don't. I mean, this
have enough.
Like, what's? I don't know. I can't believe the Blue Jays are doing this, because on paper, without Bo Bichette, and without, by the way, no Scherzer, no Berrios, no Bassett. There's another one I'm forgetting. Like, they're way banged up. Not as bad as the Red Sox, but still pretty banged up. And they're like, this is weird, man. Like I thought this would be a really tight series. I actually thought the Yankees would win it, because the Blue Jays bullpen is so bad, or so unreliable, I should say, at the back end. But this is an ass kicking. Okay, and they have a runner on third right now as I speak.
Let me ask you. Well, we'll answer Joe's question, then we'll get to the superlatives. Would you have rather lost the way the Red Sox did in game 3, or would you have rather the Red Sox won that game and then lost 10-0 three straight games to the Jays? Because to me, it's easily I would have rather beaten the Yankees than lose 10-0 three straight.
Yeah, I'm with you. Not even close.
Pat?
Yeah. Oh, easy. Dude, it's always beat the Yankees. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some superlatives. Start with the... Do you want to start with MVP, or do you want to end with MVP?
Start with MVP. I think we go... Well, actually, wait. No, why don't we go bottom to the top? Because the last one that you had was the most disappointing moment. So why don't we start there and then get more positive?
Okay. The last one on the list, worst moment of the year, most disappointing moment of the season. And you could go a couple different approaches with this. So I'm curious what you guys did. Sammy, you want to go first?
Yes. Worst moment, and I remember this way too vividly because it just happened, was the bottom of the fourth inning of game 3 against the Yankees. And because it was the first time all year, you know, I don't do the "this is a must-win game." Like, we had a bunch of those games this year that were must-wins that we spoke about, quote-unquote, and I feel like they won most of them, but there were some that they dropped, and still, they carried on, you know, must-win or can't-lose, however you want to look at it. That one was literally a must-win, or your season's over, and I just remember sinking into my couch going, "No, no, 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 Nathaniel Lowe, no, don't make the error, oh my God, Sadat, oh my God, no." That feeling fucking sucks. It absolutely sucks to see your team season slip away right in front of you at the hands of your rival. And I know this wasn't specifically the fourth inning. It was basically the whole game. I can't stand this Cam Shitter guy. He is the most hateable Yankee in a long time. I appreciate him for that, by the way. I appreciate him being hateable because I really hate this guy. Like, it's the perfect Red Sox Yankees villain, like him or not. But yeah, that fourth inning, that was just about as painful as it gets for a fan of the Boston Red Sox. Woof. That's my lowest point, the worst moment of the season.
Pat, what do you got for this one?
I tried to stay away from playoffs just because I figured one of, if not both of you, would go the playoff route. For me, it's Roman's injury. Like, the second Roman got hurt, the air was just like sucked out of this team. The fan base, the team, everything. The second he got hurt, everything became an uphill battle. Making the playoffs, hosting a wild card game, winning the division, like the whole course of the season changed that day. And like I said last episode, it's a step in the right direction no matter what this year. Like, made the playoffs, competitive series in the first round, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But when you had Roman, you really felt like this was a team that could get to the ALCS, if not further. The second he got hurt, shit just went on its head, and it had not felt the same. They had some good wins. They had some really good wins since that point, but really the moment that happened, it just felt so, so different.
Sammy?
I wrote that down initially and deleted it just because, like, that was a bad moment, but my fear was that they'd miss the playoffs without him and they made it. So I was about to go that way, Pat, but I feel like that is, if that's not the worst, it is right up there, either second place or maybe it is, if you're listening, maybe you agree with Pat. That sucked. Just the ceiling got lowered big time that day.
It's actually super interesting that you guys chose those, because those were the two moments that I was dabbling between. Because with the Nathaniel Lowe moment, and obviously there were a few moments that preceded that that were equally as bad, like the Duran missed fly ball, Sadon not getting the bunt down, Nate Eaton not scoring from third, Sadon taking a bad route in center field to a ball that was the same inning. But out of all of those moments, the Nathaniel Lowe missed double play that turned it from a 2-0 game to a 4-0 game was the moment that you felt, wow, the season's going to end tonight. That said, I'm going with what Pat said. I'm going with the Roman one, because to me, in that moment, maybe not in the moment, but once you knew it was going to keep him out, like the next day they announced it was going to keep him out the rest of the season and probably into the playoffs, and you knew in your heart it probably wasn't going to, they probably weren't going to see him again. It changed the ceiling from this team could get to the World Series and then at that point we'll see what happens to, wow, maybe they, at that moment, maybe you weren't thinking maybe they missed the playoffs, but they lost a bunch of games. And maybe a week and a half later, we were talking, wow, maybe they missed the playoffs. But the ceiling, like there was now a lid on the ceiling of the season the second Roman went down. So It wasn't in the moment as painful as the Nathaniel Lowe moment, because they won the game. And you could still like kind of convince yourself to be happy in that moment because they won the game and it was a great win that night. Like Sadon had a huge home run they were ahead and then Crochet blew it. And then that was like a rarity. And then Sadon hit the home run. It was huge and you got really happy. But that said, like the season didn't turn in any moment more than it turned there. So even though maybe it didn't hurt as much, I'm still going with it.
You know what it kind of felt like? It kind of felt like the season and the playoff run went from a 2021 vibe where you feel like, hey, this team could really go deep. We didn't fully expect this, but I'm ready to see how far they can go. I feel really good. Who knows? Right. It went from that to like a 2017 Red Sox vibe where like, yeah, they made the playoffs and they had a good regular season record. But I will never forget that 2017 team. I've never felt more hopeless heading into a playoff series than I did. I don't even remember who Astros. They played the Astros. And that team, like, they had no chance. No chance at all. And I was happy they made the playoffs, but it kind of ended there. So you kind of switched from 2021 to 2017 in my head a little bit on that day when Roman got hurt. And that, by the way, people will be like, oh, you weren't that good if a 21-year-old kid is dictating blah, blah, blah. That's not a regular 21-year-old rookie. That is a freak show. So, yeah, I think he does change that much, and I feel like the proof is in the pudding. We saw what happened.
Yeah, congratulations to Roman Anthony for being good enough to the point that, yeah, him going down really did sink the season that day. I mean, you look at the numbers in the, I think, what, two-ish months? Maybe even more leading up to that injury. He was one of the top, 15 to 20 players in the sport. That may be even not high enough. Like he was elite in every respect of the game. And that's why it killed us so much. Like Sammy, I'll never forget you made the point after he got hurt and it really resonated with me. Like the worst part of it was kind of imagining the season ending without getting that closure of what can this team do with Roman Anthony? And we never got that closure. We never really knew how far they could have made it with him. And we saw this team just be so feeble offensively for three games in New York. Who the hell knows what they could have been with Roman Anthony? The last time we saw him in New York, he hit that huge home run to win them the game on that Friday night.
I mean, what does Roman do well? What does Roman do the best? Roman, his best skill is hitting velocity, hitting fastballs. What does Cam Schitter throw? Fastball, fastball, fastball. 85% of the time, fastball. It's like a matchup made in heaven for Roman Anthony. And he also has... I know he didn't, Schwitler didn't have command issues on the night he faced the Red Sox, but over his brief MLB career, that's been an issue for him. So between that and throwing so many fastballs, it's like this guy's made for Roman Anthony to hit off of on paper. So, I mean, it really hurts. It makes it hurt even more.
You want to make it hurt even more? And Matt, what could the defensive alignment have looked like in game two if Roman were out there? Is there a chance that Roman's playing left and Duran is not in the lineup against the lefty?
Yeah. It depends how Cora felt about where Willier was at, but there certainly is a chance. Probably, I would say.
Willier well, game was two not in been, that game.
It would have been Eaton.
Oh, you said game two.
Because Duran missed the ball in game two. I'm talking about the fly ball to Duran.
I think it...
But yeah, maybe Eaton doesn't make the roster.
There's a, yeah, but would, so, he, yeah, would he have sat Duran? So that's the question. That's the question. It's not Willier, it's Duran. Would he have sat Duran? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll never know. That's again, it's the lack of closure. We will not know if the Red Sox could have beaten the Yankees or, hey, let's be honest with ourselves. That series might be at Fenway Park if Roman Anthony never got hurt. And seeing we got to move on to the next one. We've spent a good amount of time on this one, but I was reading something. I think it was from Andy Martino that the Yankee that like part of the reason that the Blue Jays started Treya Savage in game two was because the Yankees have their tragic machine and they're like really good about it. And that what that machine does is mimics it. Like it shows you the pitcher throwing it and it has their exact velocity, pitch shape, everything. It's basically like you're facing the pitcher and they're just, it doesn't travel. It stays at home. So when you don't have it on the road, and they just didn't have anything on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
On Savage. So, yeah, needless to say, he struck him out double-digit times and set the Blue Jays single postseason game strikeout record. If the Yankees are at Fenway, who knows? Maybe they don't get as good of a look at early. I don't know. They didn't really have a good look at early anyway. But that series at Fenway, who knows? I mean, that's why I wanted them to win those games at Fenway Park so much, is I wanted that series at Fenway. Again, we'll never know what it could have looked like if it was at Fenway.
I'm gonna award the Red Sox the hypothetical series win with Roman Hill. So congratulations to the hypothetical Boston Red Sox. You win.
Fenway was electric in that hypothetical series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hypothetically electric, I should add.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Your team, adjective, used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
All right, let's turn it around here. Best moment of the year. I'll go first on this one. We can go reverse order. I think it's the Sadon walk-off homer.
Which one?
The homer. Oh shit, that's right. There were two. The Angels one. You're right. The Greens against the Rays.
Three. He had the 302-foot pesky one too.
That's what I was talking about. What's
that's the Angels one?
That's the Angels one.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Wait. So you mean the Fairbanks one.
The Fairbanks. What's the third? Fairbanks?
No, you're right. You're right. Three walk-offs, two walk-off home runs.
Right.
Yes.
I'm talking about off Fairbanks in the Greens. There was winning runs at the plate, but you don't actually think, oh, he's about to send this thing into orbit and actually end the game and create literal chaos at Fenway. But that's exactly what he did. That was the stretch of baseball that got the Red Sox to the playoffs. Without that stretch of baseball, this Red Sox team doesn't even get in, and we're having the same exact offseason discussions as we were last year. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit different of a variation now, but that moment was like, oh, wow, this team might have something. So that's it for me.
Elite calls, too, by everyone, by Nesson, by Will, and by the Rays broadcast, too.
Yeah. True. Wow. I remember that's the one we talked about the most the next day was the Rays one.
Yeah, he just goes, wow, Red Sox win.
Pat, what's your moment of the year?
I'm going Sadon against Detroit to clinch. That whole moment, like the Friday greens to come from behind, him sliding into third and basically like crying on third when he slides in. The call, Sadon, say hello to the player, or October baseball. Everything about that was just perfect, because that was like me more so than you two, but that was like a series that I kind of sweat. Like, I knew the odds were in their favor. I still felt good about them making playoffs, but like just the situation, the math behind it, like it was still a sweat. And then the second he does that, it's just like weight off the shoulders. We're going to October. Like everything about it was just perfect to me. Any of the Sadon ones, you could absolutely say, but for me, it's that one.
I'm agreeing with Pat. That was, Gordo, when you said the one of the two Sadon walk-off home runs, in my head, that was a home run that he hit against the Tigers, but it wasn't. I think technically a triple. Did he get credit for a triple?
I think he might have, and I feel like they don't usually give those credit for the triple. They usually cut him off.
Joe is saying, yes, he did. Have you ever seen a walk-off triple? I'm trying to think, like, off the top of my head.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to do that.
You got to get to third before... Maybe they were just giving him a generous hometown scorer's book call. Whatever. Either way, that was incredible. Being in the building that night, I was with my college roommate, who I roomed with back in 2013, and like we've been to so many different Boston games together, and we were actually talking about that all night while we were watching the games we've been to, and funny enough, that one had, I mean, that tops it all. That was just, that was one of those moments that I will remember being at for the rest of my life. Like, that was just, and I'm sure people who watched it on TV will remember it, just a walk-off to get into the playoffs in, awesome. In a year where there was doubt. Like, go back and check the tapes. We were anxious for a while. I remember there was a point, I forget which series against the A's, but they were playing the A's, one of the series. They were very close in time, the second one probably, where I said, this is the first time all year where if I were betting, I would say Red Sox don't make the playoffs. They won the next day, so I switched back. But there was a day where I thought they were not going to make it. So to fast forward from then to the Sedan moment, and then like Pat said, he curls up kind of in a ball at third base. Looks like a boxer who got hit with like a kidney shot and just crumbled to the ground, but this was positive. So just an unbelievable moment. Wish I had heard the call live. Can't do that when you're at the ballpark, but just an unbelievable, unbelievable moment in a season where there were choices. We had to make choices. There wasn't a odds-on favorite for this one, so that's my choice.
You can do it at the ballpark. Steve Bartman did it.
Dude, that looked so unpleasant. Like, I mean, look how that turned out for him.
Yeah, come on.
What if I had fallen out of the stands, accidentally made contact with that ball, fan interference, Sedan gets walked back to the plate, and then he strikes out? I'd be the new Steve Bartman.
I'm just picturing a world where Sammy is the new Steve Bartman and Red Sox fans are just like throwing trash at him.
I'd move to like Mexico.
All right, let's another negative one. And I like this one because I can think of at least three legitimate different routes that you could go with this one and be right. The biggest disappointment. Sammy, you seem really confident.
I think there's one answer for this, and I think we all are going to have the same answer. You're talking biggest disappointment like a player, correct?
Like a player this season. I think
we all on the count of three. Can we all on the count of three say who we think?
Yeah.
The fact that you're
thinking makes me think that you're not going to say who me and Sammy are.
Okay,
am I forgetting something?
It's Walker Buehler.
I was going to say Walker Buehler too, but can I make the argument for the other two, and then we can all kind of explain why the answer is Buehler?
Yes.
I think we had this discussion at the midway point, and I answered differently. And granted, at the midway point, I don't know if we were saying I don't know what the opinion of Buehler was at that point. I think we knew he wasn't good, but I don't know if we. Yeah, we did. We did, because that first start against the Phillies after the break, he was really good, and it's like, oh, did he turn the corner? But no, the other answers for me, Rafael Devers, that's what I argued at midseason. But the reason I don't want to go Devers at this point is because we saw after he got traded that this was a legitimate playoff team. We knew it. They got to the playoffs. They were a playoff team. So why did they not go further with the iteration of the team that got to the playoffs? That's why I'm going with guys that aren't Buehler. I think the other answer could be Jaren Duran. I think he had a disappointing season overall. And I don't think he would have been a candidate for this, but I think the postseason that he had makes him a candidate, because the season that he had was on the table. We knew it was possible, but what he did in the playoffs was so, like, he had just such a bad three-game series that it puts him in the discussion.
Yeah, fair. I think if that were like a 5-7-game series and he stunk for more than just three games, that would be a stronger argument, but No, I can't take either. And I think Devers is kind of a weird outlier in this conversation. Plus, he was really good when he was here. So, I think it's got to be Buehler. I mean, entering the season, I didn't think we were going to get Walker Buehler. But I thought that he was going to be a high threes, low fours, 145-inning type of guy who was mostly here because you know he's reliable in October and you need a guy like that. That's why I was like, oh, wait, all year long. I'm like, wait, you can't get rid of him. Look what Giolito did. Big egg on my face. I was very wrong about Buehler. So that, I mean, did he make the Phillies playoff roster?
Yeah.
Ooh, good. He did.
I believe
See, that, so. To me, that plays, it's not a significant part of the discussion, but the fact that he's been good since he left also plays into it. Like, fuck off. Fuck all the way off with that shit. Come the fuck on. You had months to figure it out. You're not telling me that the Phillies told him one thing. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Right. It was a colossal disappointment. It was. He had so many chances.
Tremendously disappointing.
And like they the fact that like had they made it to the division series, game one would have been Kyle Harrison. What, like 3-4 innings, and it would have been bullpen the rest of the way. The fact that that would have been our playoff starting pitching pattern because of what he did plays a big role into it.
Harrison probably goes 7 shutout innings, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just considering they gave him basically the qualifying offer, tried to give him more.
That's true. 3 years.
Oh my yeah. God.
But like for me, like if you had told me back in March that Sox get to the wild card series, 3-game set, goes to game 3. Yeah, I would presume that Walker Buehler was one of those 3 starters. Probably 2 or 3, but that's a guy with the postseason pedigree, been there before. Like he had the incredible postseason last year. Like every single expectation you had for Walker Buehler was just so incredibly off. One name I do want to throw out, and it feels kind of cheap, but it's still worth throwing out there. Tanner Houck. Tanner ended up getting hurt.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. Very
but before,
fair.
Like we're talking about a guy who is a sub 3.45. Like we're talking about a guy who was an all-star last year.
I'll get you the numbers. It
should have been the perfect number 2 for Crochet. It all started back in spring training. We were actually at we were in Fort Myers at the spring training facility. We were at JetBlue and against the spring training game against the Rays.
Right. Yes,
and Rays. He led up like 11 11 runs in like an inning and 2/3. Something ridiculous. So like it's fair to wonder if the injury was a thing prior to the beginning of the season. But even still, I mean, Tanner was a guy who he thought obviously would probably regress a little bit, but nowhere near the extent he did. Like he was initially, it kind of felt like a ghost IL sit because he was that bad the first month of the season.
You know, Pat, I really do think that there's an argument for Tanner Houck to actually be the answer to this. And I think if had he not gone on the IL to end the season with legitimate surgery, like I think he would be the answer to this. The stats last year, he made 30 starts, had a 3.12 ERA in 178 and 2/3 innings. At several points in last season. We more often declared him a budding ace than didn't. Like it was like the last 2 months, he was not that. The first 4 months, he was. He was your guy. He was what kept you in it. He was your stopper. He was what Crochet was to a lesser extent, but like, Crochet filled the Tanner Houck shoes.
Yeah. Houck was just like a very, very reliable starter in 2024. He wasn't a gaudy strikeout number type guy like Crochet. But to your point, Gordo, you felt really good every time he started for the Red Sox. And like, I think the difference is Houck was closer to a 0 for the Red Sox this year. He was a negative, but he was closer to a 0 than Buehler, who straight up just like he hurt the team badly with the amount of. The amount of innings he didn't pitch and the amount of runs he gave up, and think about what was that game? Remember when he got ejected? He got thrown out in like the second inning. I feel like that was when it really, really started to spiral. And it's just, you think of all those innings, it's hard to calculate, but all the innings the bullpen had to cover for him. And it just kind of reminds you of that 2024 team that, you know, and 2023 and 2022 when the bullpen just got burnt out. But luckily, you had a guy like Garrett Crochet this year and a supporting cast with Bayo and Giolito who mostly prevented that from happening. But yeah, Buehler, just big time negative. Bad aura.
That Mets start was his first off the IL. The IL really was the borderline because he actually was a solid, serviceable dude before that IL stint. And in that Mets game, it was his first start off the IL and he looked pretty good, but he got thrown out. And then after that, it was shit the rest of the way. Tanner Houck in the first half last year, by the way, I've got the numbers up. He had a 2.54 ERA and 19 starts before the All-Star break last year. Like that is
how many Ks per 9 in that?
I've got I don't know if the splits have K9 up here. I've got a 4.31 K to walk ratio here. He had 112 strikeouts and 117 innings. So
okay, so that's like a really good number 2 starter.
Honestly, dude, 2.54 and 19 starts, that's better than a number 2. That's a number 1.
It's the reason I say number 2 starter is it's just harder to project that to continue because he's not getting the strikeout, which is what happened.
Yeah, it's so true.
He pitched like a one, but you could, I would have called him a two because of the, whatever. Either way, I probably called him a one at some point during
not that. Not having so. That sucked. That's the point. Yes, not having it absolutely sucked. And honestly, like, if it weren't for the injury, I think he probably would have been our answer to this because he had an ERA over eight this year.
Yep. And you, there's a chance you don't see him again.
Yeah. Pat, you had the tweet. You had the tweet.
Yeah. It's definitely something to think about. Just with how, like, the lay of the land is right now. Definitely, I'd presume, out all of next year. 27 is going to be a weird year with the most likely lockdown. The lockout, I mean. It's a weird thing because you're basically paying him 2 years' salary for maybe a half a year of work. I hope they give it to him because, I mean, he's been here, obviously, his entire career. But, yeah. It's going to be weird to see what they do with that. Because remember, like, the one that I immediately thought of when it came to this was the Brewers non-tendering Brandon Woodruff.
Yeah.
Oh, thoracic outlet, right? He had something like that.
But he would have missed the entire season of the last year of his deal.
His contract year. Yeah, he would have missed his contract year.
So all it did was push. If had they not been able to bring him back, like, what they could have done is had him sit that season and then given him the qualifying offer, which he would have taken, and then you would have had him on a one-year deal. They ended up basically doing that anyway, and now we'll get to give him a qualifying offer anyway. But I agree, it is similar. Shall we move on to biggest surprise? A little more positive one. Biggest surprise of the season for the Sox?
Yeah.
Pat, you want to go first for this one?
I'll go first. I think I know who I put down, but let me double-check my little list here. Yeah, okay. I was right. For me, it's got to be Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis, he was a guy you signed, been there, done that. Albeit not great, but postseason experience. Had good years the last couple of years. Obviously was dominant, 4, 5, 6 years ago. He was a guy who I was comfortable being the closer, kind of envisioned him maybe fallen into that setup spot for either a Whitlock or someone like Slayton, maybe. God damn it, was I wrong. He blew out every single expectation I had all year.
None of us thought he was going to close.
No. Oh, my God. Like,
remember when they announced it, how like confused we were and upset about it? I mean, at least I was. I was upset when Cora said he's going to be the closer. I was like, what are you doing? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, like, this was a guy who I was okay kind of closing up until Slayton built up the resume to take over or whatever. I never thought that he was going to come in and absolutely suck or anything, but I thought he was going to be like a pretty good bullpen arm kind of closer for the moment up until Slayton takes over or Whitlock maybe. He was legitimately nothing short of fucking incredible this year. I would argue, it might be crazy, but I think he had the single best season from a Red Sox closer I've ever seen.
It's either that or Koji.
Honestly, yeah.
But also,
it's like, Chapman. It has to be Chapman because Koji didn't do it for a full season.
Agreed. That's why I said Chapman. Yeah.
So the thing about like why we were a little bit confused why Chapman got named the closer is because initially when they signed him, they didn't have a high leverage lefty last year, a guy who could throw velocity, a guy who could get really good left-handed batters out. And that was supposed to be Chapman.
Is what Breslow said. Swing and miss lefty. Right. We need a swing and miss lefty in the zone.
And having that pigeonholed to the ninth means that those situations in like the sixth, seventh, eighth against really good lefties with the game on the line, you were still going to have to find a guy to get those outs, which is why, like, along with Chapman, another candidate for this, he's not going to be my vote, but Justin Wilson was a huge surprise. A guy that we were all shocked when they signed to a major league contract, and he was able to get those high leverage lefty innings, and he did it pretty much from start to finish. Like, he had a tough, maybe not to finish, it was a little bit of a shaky finish, but in the end, he had a good series against the Yankees. Like, that was he was in that role from start to finish, and you could not have had Chapman close the way you did without him. So shout out to Justin Wilson too. But Sammy, do you have your biggest surprise?
Yep, I'm right along with Pat. I think the craziest thing about this whole Aroldis Chapman season, this was his 16th year in Major League Baseball. He's 37 years old. lowest walk rate of his career as a 37-year-old. And I remember when the Red Sox got him, first of all, I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Mini crash out on social media. It did not like the signing whatsoever. All I could think of was being at, was it Patio's in downtown Boston or Faneuil Hall, 2019. They had Yankees, Astros on TV, and he gave up that season-ending home run to Jose Altuve, and everyone in the bar was just hate-watching the Yankees, laughing, cheering. I'm like, this Chapman guy's a fucking bum. Now he's your closer. Didn't want it. Hated it.
Yeah.
Could not have been. Maybe the worst, least accurate take I've ever had. He was, him and Koji, comfort-wise as a fan, right next to each other, one and two, whichever way you want to put them. He goes out on the mountain. You're like, okay, it's over. Great. Oh, there's runners on base, two men on base. It doesn't matter. He'll strike out the next three guys. Does not matter. Just an unbelievably dominant season in a way that he had not dominated in like 14 years. It was like the only time he had a comparable walk rate, but this was his best. So incredible season. Struck out over 37% of batters. Just unbelievable. So yeah. Chapman, I was wrong. Happily, great season. Also, and extended.
Yep. Love that too. And Chapman was actually going to be my answer to this, but a little bit before the show, I changed my response because to me, like, I certainly wouldn't have expected what he did. But for him to be a really good closer for the Red Sox this year, I guess I could have seen it. I wouldn't have thought it would happen, but it was in the realm of possibility. The thing that I definitely did not think was in the realm of possibilities was Carlos Narvaez they traded for him. The question, is he gonna make the team as the backup catcher? Who was the guy that they got from the Giants and he played a little
Sable.
Bit?
Sable. Fucking Sable.
Blake Sable. There was Blake Sable gonna get the job? He's on the 40. Like, they could send Narvaez down. Is Sebi Zavala gonna shock the world? Like, that was the conversation at the end of spring training, because Narvaez didn't really hit much in spring training. The fact that he not only made the team, but close to instantly took over for Wong in the starting catcher job. Like, I know Wong broke his pinky at one point early in the season, but Narvaez was taking over a lot of reps before that, and that just kind of allowed him to really take over the starting job. And the fact that he was able to do what he was able to do offensively and defensively, being arguably the best catcher defensively in the sport the whole season when he hadn't caught close to the amount of innings that he did this year, the fact that he was able to do that was nothing short of shocking. And I think it's obviously awesome that he's going to be a mainstay on this team for the next 5 years, but like, not even close to, like, this would have been so far out of where I would have projected his ceiling. Like, if you told me the Red Sox were going to have a top 15 defensive catcher in the sport, I'd have been thrilled, and they got what they got. So Shout out to the Narv. But yeah, Aroldis Chapman is a deserving winner for this, because yeah, he shocked the world. He shocked the Red Sox world with what he did this season. One of the best seasons a Red Sox reliever has ever had and will ever have. Breakout of the year, which, Pat?
I mean, I'll go first just because you were just talking about him. For me, it's Narvaez. I mean, this was a guy that you thought you got for his glove, defensive catcher. Didn't really know what the bat was going to be, but as long as he could call a good game and he was solid behind the plate, you were pretty okay with it. The starting role was kind of thrust upon him once Wong got hurt. And, I mean, he took it and ran. Like, blocking, framing, arm strength was incredible this year. He calls a great game. The whole staff loves him. He loves the staff. And then the bat was a pleasant surprise. I think he ended up with 15 home runs, yeah?
Yep.
15, and then over 60 RBI?
He had... I'm on Savant. They don't really do RBIs. Wow. 50 RBIs, 15 home runs.
Yeah, which... Never. I mean, for any catcher, you kind of take that, just because this day and age, there's like two or three really good catchers, and then you kind of hope that you get a league average bat at least. But he was incredible. Like, for considering what they thought they were getting out of him, what they expected, he overachieved in every facet, and Yeah, for me, it's Narvaez. And there's a couple of guys, but for me, he's kind of head and shoulders above the rest.
So, Pat, I'm right there with you. That's my choice, too. You made a good comment. You spoke about the catchers around the league. Really quick, around Major League Baseball, Cal Raleigh, obviously the best catcher in the league, 60 home runs, might win the Gold Glove again. No pass balls, freak. Then you have Alejandro Kirk, very good, all-star. Hunter Goodman, all-star in the National League, Colorado. Then it's like JT Realmuto, he's trending down. Gabriel Moreno, hurt most of the year. Salvi's part-time. Augustin Ramirez, great bat. Horrendous defender. Awful. Carlos Narvaez, right at the top of that list after 1 year. Yes, we got to see if he can do it again. But this is a guy who, he was supposed to be the backup. He was supposed to be the backup catcher for Connor Wong, took the job quickly, like we said. And listen to these defensive numbers. Blocks above average, 88th percentile. Caught stealing, 98th percentile. Framing, 85th percentile. Pop time, 80th percentile. Everything you could have wanted times 1,000. Carlos Narvaez this year. He was a guy who was hitting fourth early on in the lineup for a brief moment. So, yeah, that's my breakout candidate. He, I hope, will be with the Red Sox for the foreseeable future. Seems like the pitching staff absolutely loves him. So, that's my pick.
He led the American League in DRS as a rookie, as a catcher with a new staff.
Oh,
playing a full season for the first time.
I buried the lead. And you got him from the fucking Yankees, too, which just makes it even sweeter.
Yeah. So, he's not my pick for this because, to me, and it has to be Roman Anthony for me. I mean, I know we had high expectations for him as a player for the Red Sox for the future. I get it. But when he came up, and this isn't even biggest surprise, but like you could have argued for biggest surprise because when he came up, all we talked about was like, yeah, we think this guy's going to be really good, but rookie hitters always, always, always struggle when they come up in this day and age. The truth of the matter is, maybe he did for his first couple of weeks, but really, thinking back to those moments, he was hitting the ball hard. He was putting together good at bats. He had a good approach. The result wasn't there. Last 56 games, it sure as shit was. He hit .329 with a .931 OPS, and he wasn't even really hitting home runs. So to me, like, this guy not only broke out, but he broke out into a superstar in this league and obviously extended, got him for 9 more years. It's awesome to have him. So shout out Roman Anthony. Can't wait to have him back and get to watch him play again, because watching him play, like, obviously great dude, but just an absolute joy to watch play in all aspects, facets of the game.
Stud. And remember, so Gordo, that I was about to go Roman. The reason I didn't, what is this? August 31st, we did an episode debating whether Roman or Duran is the better player. So that just shows our expectations. And like the only reason I didn't pick him was because like we thought, at least I thought that he was going to be something like, he definitely exceeded what I thought he'd do, but we thought he would be great, and he was great.
All right, here is the next one. Team Cy Young, shall we count down from three?
Yep,
three,
go ahead.
2, 1, Garrett Crochet. Pat, who'd you say?
Alcala.
Or Alcala?
Alcala, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, if it's not Crochet, it's Alcala. But yeah, Crochet was he was good. And my thinking is that when he pitched, the Red Sox won most of the time. Thanks for listening. Please tune in later in the week.
I'm trying to find Abraham Toro's pitching stats. Ah, here we go. Nah, he let in 2 runs, so it can't be Abraham Toro. He had an 18 ERA. Damn. If Dom Smith was on the team, it probably would have been Dom Smith.
Yeah.
So can we quite simply, I just want to read off his numbers.
Go for it.
Okay. Crochet, just the basic numbers. 32 starts. 2.59 ERA. That's what you'd see out of a closer most of the time. 205 1/3 innings. 255 strikeouts with a 1.028 whip. This was a guy who people were saying Red Sox overpaid for. Is he even going to be able to make it through a season? His delivery is this, this, and that. Holy shit. That was like watching 2017 Chris Sale. Without him going down for like a month. So, I mean, what do you even say about Garrett Crochet? Just other than holy shit.
Hopefully he keeps doing what he's doing, because Aaron Judge called him the best pitcher in the league. I think there's a very obvious premier three pitchers in the sport right now, and it's him, Scooble, and Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
They're lucky to have him. Teams do not trade guys like that every year, and it's thank God the Red Sox were the team that ended up with him.
It worked out for the White Sox too,
yeah.
Which is nice. It's like a win-win for everyone. They get Teal's been awesome. Montgomery seems like a good player. Mydroth, good. Yeah, and then Wickelman. They got Wickelman too. Yeah, what a name. Wickelman. Yeah,
good name. Okay, MVP. I want to do MVP. This is an interesting one. There's a few different ways you could go with this one. Pat, I want to give you the first word on the MVP. Who's your MVP?
So for me, it's down to probably four, realistically three guys. Yeah.
I've got four in my head, but I don't want to list them off. Give me yours.
I'm not either. I'm actually going to go Crochet. I think that in every aspect of an ace, he checked the box. Throughout the season, every time you needed a stopper, he was there. Every time you needed an extender, he was there. Like, no injuries, logged a ton of innings, struck the world out. As far as a front of the staff guy, he was just everything you could have hoped and dreamt for. Then he caps it off with the postseason, that one start against the Yankees, where he just goes 120 pitches. Again, like, strikes out the world, 11 Ks. He was just, I can't even put into words how great he was this year, because it truly did feel like that vintage Chris Sale right when he came over before all the injuries. And, like, I can't even give you another name. Like, that's just how good he was. He was in his own echelon of greatness this year. But, yeah, for me, it's he showed up every fifth day. Gave you a chance to win, and more often than not, you did win. That's pretty much it. For me, it's Crochet.
Sammy, who you got?
I think it's Crochet, and I really don't think there's any other answer that's close. I think that he was just, you know, I mean, what can I say that I haven't already said? We're comparing him to 2017 Chris Sale. Let me give you 2017 Chris Sale stats, because people, I feel like he got a bad reputation by the time he left, and people often forget how good this guy was. And I, unfortunately, 2017 Chris Sale was even better than what Crochet was this year. 2017 Sale, 32 starts, 2.9 ERA, 214 innings, 308 strikeouts. That is about 50 more strikeouts. So
I was at that game in Baltimore when he struck out his 300th. Was crazy. It felt like John Farrell pushed him a little bit too far, because he was like at 299 and he was really trying to get Sale to get it. And right after that was when his season kind of, or did he get hurt, or he just wasn't quite as effective after it? I don't know, but he lost the Cy Young award in like the last like couple, 2 or 3 weeks after that, after he got his 300th.
I don't know who won the Cy Young that
Kluber.
Year?
Kluber. It was Kluber.
17 is Kluber.
Kluber. Oh, how did they give it to him? It's close. Okay, whatever. But to be in the same conversation when we talk about Red Sox pitchers as 2017 Chris Sale, the only guy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Guy who's above that is Pedro. So if you're in that conversation, you got to be the MVP. So that's my pick. I'm going Crochet for Cy Young and MVP.
I agree. I'm also going Crochet for both Cy Young and MVP. So he'll sweep the board. And to me, I really do think the MVP should go to a hitter, but he was just that much better than everybody. Like, I think out of the hitters, if I had to pick one, it probably would have been Trevor Story. Roman played, how many games did he play? Come on. I had it up. I think it's 77 games. I think they off the dome, 77 games. And then obviously Bregman was really good, then missed a bunch of time and wasn't quite as good after that. Obviously super valuable off the field. Pat.
Yeah. I'm glad you said Bregman, because he was the one I said at the All-Star break, because he was really, I mean, the All-Star break, he was raking. Like, he was hitting over 300. He had whatever it was, 13, 14 home runs. And then he got hurt, obviously. But like, his impact just beyond his own stats was so incredibly important. Like, Giolito came out, told him he was tipping a little bit, helped the pitching staff, like, base, like, would just be, yeah, if I were this hitter, I would think you would approach me X, Y, Z. He helped with the pitching staff. Obviously, Roman, Marcelo, the young guys, like, he was a humongous mentor. Everything. Every single thing across the board. Bregman checked the box. So I'm glad you said Bregman, but yeah, for me, it's still Crochet.
He would have been mine. I'll give you the before and after. So first, before the injury, Bregman 927 OPS in 53 games. After, it was a 727 OPS in 61 games. So yeah, like, his before, pre-injury and his off the field, like, honestly, could easily make the argument that it was Bregman. But with what Crochet did, how much he meant to the staff, the other starters, becoming a leader there to the bullpen, giving them a day off once or twice a week, depending when he started, like, what he did was just, it was everything for this team. Did it start to finish? No breaks, no slumps, won them a game in the playoffs practically by himself. Yeah. So shout out Crochet. He's the MVP. I was wondering if we were going to get some pushback or disagreement there, but we didn't. So the PT MVP is Garrett Crochet, unanimously.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Enough said before we get out of here. Anyone want to go first? Sam, you want to go first?
Yeah. I'm declaring the Dodgers World Series champions. I don't know if you saw game one versus the Phillies. Nobody's beating. It's ridiculous. I know the irregular season people are like, look, they're human. No, they're not. They're a bunch of freaks. They're going to walk to the World Series. I hope I'm wrong.
They stumbled into a closer.
Yeah. Great. Great. Lucky them. Nobody deserves it more. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't even say that. They do what any fan would want their team to do with their resources. So I hope I'm wrong just because I don't like the city of Los Angeles. I don't like, as a sports town, I just feel like those fans show up only when things are sunshine and daisies. So I hope I'm wrong, but holy shit, that team is so stacked. You look at their rotation, Snell, Otani, Yamamoto. I don't even know if Glasnow is healthy. It doesn't really matter to me. They're still going to win.
He pitched game one.
Great. Fantastic. I'm so happy for them. And yeah, so congrats to the Dodgers on back-to-back championships. Hasn't happened in a while.
So I know I told you guys that I was rooting for the Phillies. I listed out the teams I was rooting for. I said I was rooting for the Phillies over the Dodgers, but I actually had to change my mind on that when I realized that Walker Buehler, I remembered that he is on the Phillies. So I have to, by default, root for the Dodgers in that series. Pat, you got enough said?
Yeah, I do. We're going into Sunday Night Football right now. It's so stupid, but I love it. Fox is like doing the graphic right now for the Sunday Night Football game, and it's the Drake and Josh logo. It is red and blue because Drake made Josh Allen. And on that same note, I saw a TikTok this morning, and it was like the theme song to Drake and Josh, and they made the opening entrance to the show like clips of Drake May, Josh Allen. I love that. I hope this becomes like a rivalry, kind of like Tom Brady. I mean, not Tom and Peyton, obviously, but like something to monitor, something to watch every year, Drake versus Josh. But yeah, it's cool. I'm excited the Patriots have a genuinely good quarterback who is not Mac Jones.
Shout out.
Mac. Do you guys, so this might make me sound old. Did you guys ever watch All That?
Yeah.
On Nickelodeon?
Yeah. I did not, and I learned what it was for the first time in the Nickelodeon documentary.
It was like SNL for kids, yeah. Basically. And not, it wasn't on Saturday night every time, I don't think. But Pat, you remember Drake Bell's character Toadly Kyle?
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
Toadly Kyle. Yeah. He like invented the Chad meme back in like the 90s, early 2000s.
Joe? Sammy, I hate to be that guy, but that wasn't All That. That was
Amanda show, right?
Yeah.
The Amanda show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, another one. You're right. My bad. But both of those kind of similar shows that were kind of like a la carte. Here's all of our funny cast, kind of, like I said, SNL for a younger audience. Like, that's right. That's right, Joe. Amanda show. I remember Amanda, please. So, yeah, man. Damn. We had a good 90s, 2000s. Yeah.
I just remember, Kyle. What was the skit in Amanda show? She is no lady. The meh,
meh,
Oh my god, I totally forgot about that, Joe. I'm glad you corrected me because I was thinking All That Amanda show.
All That was good. Dude, too.
Those were the days. 1999 to like 2007, 2008. Like, yeah. Wow, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Hey Arnold, great show. Yeah. The SpongeBob was just starting up back then. Oh, the best.
I hope Amanda Bynes is doing all right. I don't think she is, right?
She's not.
Yeah, she's not. Okay, I'll do mine. I think the Cam Schlittler mom stuff is ridiculous. Nobody attacked his mom. Can we stop with this?
Sorry, I just Googled Amanda Bynes. Holy shit. Wow.
It's jarring. He claimed, yeah, no. It is jarring looking at Amanda Bynes.
Well, okay, Gordo, I hear what you're saying, but like,
no one came after his mom.
No, I know, but they were chirping her for having Red Sox. If people said anything to my mom, I'd be upset.
Saying that she has Red Sox in her bio is not a chirp.
But she's probably, come on. It's not a chirp, but it's still people like, nagging her on, like, come on, you did. Like,
yeah. It's saying that she's a Red Sox fan, which she is. She was so excited about it that she put it in her fucking bio.
I think it's fair on both sides. I think it's fair that people were saying stuff like that, but I think it's fair for Cam Schitter to be upset about it.
I think athletes can use whatever the hell they want to motivate them going into games. Tom Brady did it for years. He would take absolute nothingness and use it to fire him up to be great. By all means, go for it. But don't talk shit after the game and be tweeting at Lucy and be talking shit to people back home, to the media. Like, ugh. Again, he's a
But
he's
also,
a, he's
at the same time,
douche.
Like...
He's a douche.
If you're sitting here being like, no, not you, Gordo, but if you're listening and you're like, well, that gave him the motivation he needed, like... The big account that did it was Cutter is King. If you think that Cutter is King is the reason that Cam Schlittler pitched really well against the Red Sox, you're delusional. Maybe it gave him motivation, but no, that is not why he had the game of his life. No, it was the stage and the atmosphere and the opponent and the background. Like, that is why he pitched really well. Not Cutter is King.
I agree.
As much as we love a friend of the program, he doesn't have that much pull.
But just message to fucking Cam Schlittler is shut the fuck up and get out there and pitch if your team even makes it to a game four to have you pitch in. Like, you beat the Red Sox. Congratulations. I'm sure you love talking all that shit to your friends back at home. But I'm just saying, there's a long way to go and there's years to go in this rivalry. So talk your shit now if you want. But I'm telling you, this is not the last you're going to see of the Red Sox. And your friends back home are going to have their chance to talk shit to you, and they're going to remember the shit you're saying.
And on a more serious note, dude, don't dox yourself and tell people you live in Southie of all places in the off season. Like, that is that, like obviously, if you're listening, don't ever, never, ever do anything like what I'm insinuating. But like, dude, don't, if you're Cam Schlittler listening, and I know he's listening to the show.
Yep.
Don't fucking tell people where you live, you idiot. There's nutcases out there.
I'll tell you right now. If I run into Cam Schlittler in Southie, I'm going to give him the dirtiest look I've ever given somebody in my life. That's it.
I'm going to go hey, Cam, you know how we do things around here, boy? You better watch yourself, dude. Fucking die.
I keep hearing this dude's like a major hothead. I'm begging for him to get into a fight in Southie in the offseason.
Dude, he's 6'6", like 150 pounds. He'd get snapped in half. It wouldn't be just one guy. It would be like six dudes. They'd break him. I don't want to stand up for this guy and be like, be safe, Cam, but like...
No, yeah.
I don't want that reputation on our fan base, like where they jump a Yankees player. Don't do that shit.
Sammy, as someone who worked in Southie for... 3.5 years or so in a restaurant, Schlittler will take these Southie boys down no problem. They're all short kings.
There's not going to be just one of them. It would be like 10 dudes, and they wouldn't just be barehanded. Joe, come on, it's a real world.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it on that. Hopefully he doesn't get the chance to take the ball at all.
Don't assault athletes.
Yeah, see, that would be crossing the line. Saying that his mom is a Red Sox fan, to me, not crossing the line.
No.
Hitting the guy.
Wait, one last thing. If you guys had a child and they played for the Yankees, would you be a Yankees fan?
No.
Right, you root for the kid, but not the... Yeah. Root for the Yankees on the night he's pitching.
We're also the 99.999th percentile of Red Sox fans, so, like, I understand if his family wanted... Yeah. Like, I would get it.
I saw Carrabba's talking about this, and it resonated with me. I'm like, yeah, if I had a kid and he was on the Yankees, I'd be like, I hope you have a 7 ERA, you bum.
All right, we got to wrap it here. That's going to do it for episode 274 of Playtesty. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe to WEI. You can find all the Playtesty episodes in the Playtesty playlist, and we'd really appreciate it if you hit the thumbs up on all those videos. Remember to follow us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We'll be back, I believe, for an episode on Wednesday, and then we're going to kind of see where to go from there. I know they're doing the end of season pressers on Monday, so we'll probably start to get into a little bit of off season stuff then. But then schedule after that is TBD. But till then, we'll be back in a couple days. But till then, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing it, is Gordo here for Playtesty, episode 274. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
It's the morning of the most important day of your life. You wake up refreshed and ready for your big day when you look in the mirror and see the zit to end all zits. Stay calm. Mighty Patch Pimple Patches absorb gunk in just 6 hours and shrink the look of blemishes in one use. Leave Mighty Patch on while finalizing florals and you've still got plenty of time for full glam. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.